holiday shopping spree on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Just like a lot of us, private equity firms are in a buying mood this week. An outfit called Apollo Management will pay $6.5 billion for Realogy Corporation. Realogy owns Century 21 and Coldwell Banker, about a quarter of U.S. home sales. Apollo's in on another private equity bid. That one is for the casino giant Harrah's, $16.7 billion. Over the weekend, 10 people from Congress met with Cuban officials in Havana. This is the biggest group of American lawmakers to visit Cuba since 1959. It's a sign Congress may revisit the four-decades-old trade embargo. Many Cuban exiles here in the States are also open to a change in that policy. Dan Gretsch reports from our America's desk at WLRN.
For many Cuban Americans, the embargo is a symbol of opposition to Fidel Castro. But will the embargo still make sense when the ailing leader dies? Sociology professor Guillermo Grenier is with Florida International University. He says Cuban exiles fear that the embargo may outlive the regime it's intended to punish.
Fidel dies, rules in power, and there's still an embargo, and there's still restrictions, and they still can't go back.
With Fidel on his deathbed, he says Cuban Americans are more open to change in U.S. policy.
That, in combination with having a Democratic Congress, might make a difference. Either one or the other by itself probably wouldn't.
No one expects the embargo itself to be lifted. But 2004 restrictions on travel to Cuba to visit family may be the first to go. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Toyota is going to raise the price of some of its cars. The Corolla is going up $100 in January, the Camry $200. The company's doing this to cover the cost of raw materials and, well, because it can. Toyota's on a sales pace to pass GM next year as the world's top car maker. Today, Philip Morris raises the price of its cigarettes 10 cents a pack. Philip Morris is doing this, well, because it can, and it'll soon have some new bills to pay. Steve Tripoli reports.
Even though smoking's declining in this country, that's not the case for Philip Morris brands like Marlboro, Basic, and Virginia Slims. Standard & Poor's analyst Raymond Mathis says that's where basic economics kicks in.
They have pricing power. They have captured more than 50% of the market at this point. So they're doing quite well relative to the rest of the market.
Mathis says the company is also girding for increased payments from the so-called master settlement of lawsuits by the states. So a slice of the price hike will go there.
We guess it's about 5 to 6 cents out of a dime. And, you know, all of these costs get passed along to the consumer.
That leaves the states in a kind of contradictory position with consumers.
They want to discourage smoking to a certain extent. However, they don't want it to shut down completely because not only do they gain a lot of revenue from excise tax, but with the master settlement agreement, there's additional revenue coming in.
Mathis says state balance sheets would be hurting if all those smokers they make money from went away tomorrow. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
The Dow starts the week at another record high, well, not counting inflation. That's 12,445. The NASDAQ picked up 3 points Friday to 2457. The S&P 500's at 1427. This is Marketplace. Today's expected to be FedEx's busiest day ever. Tanya Ott tells us how the heck they're going to do it all.
It's Monday morning and you've got a crazy long to-do list today. Well, that's nothing, says Matt Siniceros. He's a spokesman for FedEx, which expects to process 9.8 million packages today. That'll be a record, and they're calling in the big guns.
A little bit over 700 corporate employees, lawyers, marketers, financers, will all go down to the hub and volunteer with the job. To meet demand. Organized chaos is how we like to describe it.
Sinicero says the numbers are fueled in part by strong online sales. Internet research company Comscore Networks says online retail sales for 2006 are slated to top $100 billion for the first time ever. I'm Tanya Ott for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
It's the end of the year, so people are getting all sentimental and making their economic predictions for 2007. A popular one right now is whether a recession is coming. There are some indicators out there, namely the housing market. So I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan his thoughts. And we never did come up with a prediction. We spent the whole time on what the heck is a recession anyway.
We all learned in school, or at least I learned in school, that a recession is two straight quarters when the gross domestic product grows less than the rate of inflation. It turns out, however, that that is not what a recession is. Do you know the definition of a recession?
Well, that's the one I've always heard, so no, enlighten me, please.
See, well, a recession is what the Business Cycle Dating Committee of the National Bureau of Economic Research decides after the fact was a recession. And I am not making this up. And I used to think the Business Cycle Dating Committee was some sort of social group. But in fact, it's a group of, I guess now, seven people who decide after the fact when a recession began or ended. And my favorite example, at the end of November of 2001, which was, of course, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, the committee decided that a recession had started in March of 2001. Then in July of 2003, they decided the recession had actually ended in November of 2001, which means after they declared a recession was underway, it had actually begun to change.
Well, who says that these guys and gals are the ones that decide this stuff?
That is what's decided. Just like you and I decide what goes on this show, the National Bureau of Economic Research is in charge of telling people officially when recessions in the United States started and when they ended. And so every time I hear people say, gee, is there going to be a recession in 2007, I have this mad urge to say, why don't you come ask me in the middle of 2008? I'll tell you if there was.
Well, what's the feeling on Wall Street right now about whether or not we're in a recession or headed for one?
Well, the feeling on Wall Street right now is, you'll forgive the expression, greed and joy, at least at most places, because even though this may not have been a great year for the economy, it's been a fabulous year for Wall Street. And all of the high-end people on Wall Street have bonuses to die for. So they're very happy. And in any event, I don't think any of those guys hang out with the Business Cycle Dating Committee.
So we'll check in with the dating committee, you know, in a couple of years.
In a few years, I'll let you know if there was a recession in 2007.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Alan.
Anytime, Scott.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
There is nothing like the decoration.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.